I'm Richard Hake with Life After Sandy, WNYC's series on the recovery and rebuilding after the storm. As some city dwellers start to turn their attention to weekend getaways to the beaches of Long Island, we look at one area that didn't get as much media coverage during the storm and immediately afterward, perhaps due to its remoteness and its very few year-round residents. Fire Island is a fragile 32-mile-long, half-mile-wide barrier island along the south shore between Jones Beach and the Hamptons. It, too, suffered severe damage in some places, with its dunes leveled, flooding, and even a breach where the ocean now meets the bay. But it did just what a barrier island does. It protected the mainland. And now the few year-rounders and business owners are scrambling to get ready as the island's seasonal tourist and resident population will swell into the hundreds of thousands. There are no cars on Fire Island, with bicycle and foot the main mode of transport, along with little red wagons to haul goods. As the passenger ferry chugs across the Great South Bay for the 30-minute trip from Bayshore, you can see some of the 17 small and isolated communities, each with its own flair and unique reputation, with names like Kismet, Saltaire, Fair Harbor, and Cherry Grove. The incorporated village of Ocean Beach is the unofficial capital of Fire Island, with the most built-up commercial strip. It also suffered some of the worst damage from Sandy, millions of dollars worth.
The night before, we looked at a house, and then the next morning when we came back, there was not even a 2x4 left. Everything was gone. The house was just gone.
Like the sea just took it?
The sea just took it.
Ian Levine is the first assistant fire chief in Ocean Beach. Long before Sandy hit, a mandatory evacuation was issued for Fire Island, but not everyone wanted to leave. Police Chief George Hess.
Before the storm started, what we did is we went door to door and we found out who was staying. We took all their information down, their names, their addresses, any family contacts, just in case something happened to them. But, you know, once the storm hits, people panic.
And that's just what happened. Chief Hess, along with his officers and Assistant Fire Chief Levine and his team, had to evacuate 17 people right before the storm. And another group did stay to ride it out.
There won't be anybody here next time because it was really frightening here. And, it came close to people losing lives out here.
That's Ocean Beach Mayor Jim Mallett, who is among the 100 or so who live here throughout the winter. He watched as the Great South Bay inundated the narrow walks, clapboard business structures, and beach bungalows, along with his own restaurant and bar, the Albatross.
You know, 3 or 4 feet. I had 2 feet through the restaurant. I had 2 feet through my house. You know, the streets were a disaster. It's been pretty devastating for Ocean Beach, but, as soon as the storm was over, we started work. We started clearing the streets. We started doing everything that we needed to do, and we've been doing that for the past 6 months.
I'm heading up Bayberry Walk right now here in Ocean Beach on Fire Island. The streets look pretty good, although you can tell that lots of water went through here. The mayor told me about 2 feet of water rushed through this over this dune line here. I'm approaching the beach. Most of the houses are pretty much intact, with the exception of some shingles flown off. Most of the damage here was water. Went through these houses, and all the debris is now lined up on the dunes, actually, here on the beachfront, to be shipped off, to be carted off.
Since it's difficult for homeowners to ship items off Fire Island by themselves, the Army Corps of Engineers sent personnel to remove mounds of furniture, appliances, mattresses, and other debris from all of Fire Island. It's estimated some 200 private homes on the entire stretch will not be ready. Throughout the winter, Ocean Beach, normally nearly desolate, has been bustling with contractors, inspectors, and workers. James Broderick is an electrician with Lighthouse Electrical Group.
The main issue is that a lot of these houses are so old that when this flood hit, it came up to the wiring that was, you know, it might have been under theirs from the 50s, the 60s, 70s, and even earlier in some houses, but a lot of these houses weren't equipped to deal with a storm of this magnitude.
Now, he's raising the outlets higher and doing direct burial wiring to protect from future floods. He says it's a chance to build better.
Hey, guys, how's the installation process going?
It's gone a little better now. It wasn't too good before.
Since 2005, Laura Marcogliano and her husband Chris have been running the Palms Hotel. Over the years, they've been buying up small, weathered properties and converting them into luxury accommodations. think boutique hotel with double pillow top beds.
Our guests really, they have very discerning tastes, and they want their accommodations to be as good as they have it at home or better. Gone are the days of people coming here and accepting sand in their sheets.
Between four small buildings, the Palms can accommodate 185 people in 42 units. Most of them were damaged by the floodwaters. But Mercogliano is committed to getting it all ready by mid-May, and she says the phone has been ringing.
We have been getting inundated with calls, both for large parties and also for people who want to do private events. There's also a fair amount of curiosity about what happened on Fire Island, so we're getting a lot of people who just want to see what happened here.
Some businesses are already open for the season and all fixed up. The Island Mermaid is a historic restaurant and bar. The space has hosted Marilyn Monroe, Burt Bacharach, Art Carney, Ethel Merman, among others, over the years. It's slow now, but it's one of those places that's part of the Ocean Beach culture.
You know the old saying, out of lemons make lemonade.
Scott Hirsch is the Island Mermaid's owner and has been associated with the business for the past 35 years. He's part of a group called Revive FI. The business owners have joined together to let people know Fire Island is open for business.
One of the most interesting things that's happened for me is I never got to spend any time with any of the business owners from the other communities because we're all so busy. But over this winter, we've been meeting on Monday nights, and I've been getting to meet people for the first time, if you could believe it, in 20, 30 years that have been doing the same thing I'm doing, but in other communities.
Brian O'Handley is another bar owner in Ocean Beach.
There's 11 restaurants and bars in this town, and you think we all compete, but we also all help each other. So it's that kind of two-sided relationship.
Like everyone else, O'Handley's property suffered severe damage. The Bayfront business includes Hauser's, which started as a hotel in 1921. When Prohibition was lifted, a bar opened.
People popping in their heads, so don't change anything, you know. This place was here for the storm of 38. It's probably one of the oldest buildings in town. So this has seen every storm there's been, and we're still here. So we're not going anywhere.
There aren't that many structures on Fire Island that predate 1938. That's because a storm nicknamed the Long Island Express decimated most of the island. Comparing Fire Island to other coastal communities in the region, Sandy wasn't as destructive. O'Handley says he will be ready for the crowds of beachgoers.
Put your toes in the sand and have a zippy cool.
Life after Sandy on Fire Island looks like it will be summer as usual. Visit WNYC.org to see photos, maps, and other stories from our series. For WNYC, I'm Richard Hake.